small business.
Got to be clear about these things. Small Business Focus brought to you by Volkswagen Commercial Vehicles, built to build your business. Visit vwcommercial.co.za today. Pavlo Fatidis in studio with us this evening. How and why to build your product business into a service business and your service business into a product business, huh?
It's a bit of a tongue twister, isn't it?
It is.
Hmm. So the environment that we work in, if you've got a product business, now let's think of a traditional product business. You've got a vehicle. Let's say you're selling Volkswagens, which is probably a good example in this instance.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you have books, or if you have anything physical, you've got a product business. And if you have a product business, Bruce, and you do not wrap it with services, you're going to find yourself in a pretty difficult space. The only people who can really afford to do that, of course, would be people who supply public goods like electricity or water. They can afford to perhaps not really worry too heavily about services. And yet, even that is changing, as we saw in the recent elections. People get grumpy if they don't get proper service when they have to take a physical product.
Now, and it's so important to understand that every business is a service business, whether you're making a T-shirt, delivering airtime, whatever. If you deliver airtime badly, people will go and get their airtime from somewhere else.
Completely. Every single one is. And, you know, the services are what set the products apart. So, okay, you might have some affinity for certain brands, but if you take probably the two leading handsets in the world at the moment, which will be an Apple and a Samsung, and you look at it phone by phone, feature for feature, really it starts to look very, very similar. Or if you take two top-end motor vehicles and you compare them with each other in the same range, they more or less are the same. A large part of what affects the decision, the purchase decision of that customer, is going to be the product. Is going to be the service. That's provided around it. And there are a whole lot of really clever techniques you can, let's say, inculcate into your product to set you apart and to give you some price advantage and to give you length of stay with the customer.
Now, restaurants are product businesses. You go there for a product. You go there for food.
Yes.
However, anybody can deliver food and they can take it down and they can chuck it in front of you. Your food is delivered to you. What the hell's wrong with you?
There we go.
Eat and leave.
It could be the best steak in the entire world or the best pizza in the entire world. Creates bad, really bad word of mouth. And there was this fellow, I'm not sure if he's still around, he was called, I think, the Breakfast Bandit. He was a guy who used to go around and visit certain establishments and have breakfast there, and he would write about it in one of the Saturday newspapers. And Bruce, this individual could make or break your business. And all of it, 90% of his commentary was always around the service. Yeah. Very seldom.
It's about
a scrambled egg
experience.
Is a scrambled egg. Really, you can mostly get it more or less right. Mostly. It was about the experience, and that's what he spoke about.
Okay, so why does a product business need to become a service business and a service business a product business? Because you can have great service, but if your product's lousy.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about why the service business should think like a product business. Maybe that's a better way to put it. You know, the wonderful thing about products is, in a sense, you walk into a store, you see the product, you buy it, you pay for it in full, and if they're financing terms, that's most likely outsourced to a third-party service provider of some sort, like a bank or a financial institution of some sort. But that shopkeeper or that business owner gets paid up front for the product. Secondly, when you're selling a product, you effectively sit with your sales team. You talk about the wonderful features that the product has got. And if one sales member leaves, you can replace that sales member fairly quickly and fairly easily. And then thirdly, finally, when you're selling a product, the product often is what attracts a customer first and foremost, followed through by the service. When you're selling a service, it's normally you who is selling the service. And as a business founder, it's very hard to transit across. So I think this makes for another show in its own right, because it is a complex space.
Okay, but how then do you take this product and you then say, right, we need to take the product, and the product is the product. We can't do anything about the product. But how do we make the product stand out? And making the product stand out is the way in which that product is delivered in the service context.
It's in the service context. And there's so many examples of how we can use this in our own environments, in our own businesses as well.
Okay, we'll do that in just a moment. How to take the product and turn it into a service, or at least turn the experience of the product into a warm and fuzzy, competent, professional service in terms of the delivery of that particular product. We've got some points coming up next.
Bidvest. The Money Show.
Small business focus. Let's talk about examples on how a product business can benefit from getting service elements into the product business. So it's absolutely no good if I'm selling cell phones and the customer's might like the cell phone, but he's got absolutely zero confidence in the way in which I deliver the phone itself, the after sales service, the repairs if the screen smashes, for example.
Okay, so can I use a slightly different example? Because confidence is more important in the selling process if it's a new service, or if it's a new product. And recently, over the last, year and a half, 2 years or so, Bruce, every single pavement, it feels as if every single pavement all over South Africa has been dug up in order to lay fiber down. And fiber is a bit of a misnomer. People aren't used to it. They are surprised by this. A way to create confidence over there is to turn around and say, okay, the physical product I'm laying down is fiber, and I'll put a little box to your home, a little box to your business. But furthermore, what I will do, Mr. Customer or Mrs. Customer, I will pull the fiber from that box into your home and set up the router for you, so you immediately can witness and see it working, and I won't leave until you are satisfied. That clinches a product-based sale.
I'll take that deal.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately.
And I might even be prepared to pay more for it, because at least I've got confidence in the service being delivered. It's pointless having the cable with frayed edges sitting in my house. I've got a handful of fiber optics, but nothing to connect it to.
Absolutely right. And, you know, especially for a service like that, where you need some level, although very, very basic, if you need some sort of technical skill in order to get it up and running, it just gives you the confidence that you're buying a product where you will feel its impact before anything else.
And dealing with telecommunications companies, I mean, these are guys are notorious also for not being all that timeous in their delivery in some cases. Okay, Telkom. We'll be at your house tomorrow. No, sorry, we got delayed. Big job. Yeah, no, we'll be tomorrow. And that's been a problem in South Africa in terms of a customer confidence perspective, is actually being competent and capable of delivering the service as and when you say it's going to be delivered.
Very definitely. But the ultimate test is when you buy the product, if you can get the customer to be confident enough to feel its impact immediately, then you've got that deal. And what's so interesting about it, you don't even have to charge for it in that particular instance, Bruce, because you're earning money every single month from that customer.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I mean, I often when I'm dealing with a service provider of any description, I feel like, hold on a second, who's actually taking the risk of this transaction? I'm giving you money to provide this service, but I feel like I'm liable here, not you.
Very much so. And I think in this particular instance, especially, because it's new and because it's not fully tested and because you might have only spoken to three people who've got it out of the 30 people that you do know, that confidence becomes an important trigger in getting that deal done.
Okay, confidence. Okay, I'm beginning to get a picture here as well. Is there such a thing as customer loyalty anymore? Because it's all well and good that you come to me, Pablo, and you deliver the service. And I'm absolutely, I adore what you've done, and I've paid a premium for that particular service. But Joe comes from down the road and offers me exactly the same thing for $200 less next month.
Well, we do. And you know, we've seen it quite recently. There's an industry in massive crisis called the cinema industry or the movie industry. We've seen what trouble they're in because of things like fiber to home and a whole lot of other elements that have brought entertainment into the home and taken it away from the cinema environment. And my understanding is, Bruce, they've gone and introduced something called, you can be a VIP where you pay a small fee or you become part of a club and you get invited to premieres, you get invited into luxury seats. You're treated with a point of difference. You're treated beyond the ordinary. And that creates a certain type of loyalty, especially if there's cachet to that experience where you can speak to your friends and you can turn around and say, you know, I went to this movie. Oh, I never knew it was released. Well, I was, you know, I'm part of the loyalty club, so I get invited ahead of it. And we sat in these seats that were recliner seats. Oh, wow, they offer that?
I just fall asleep.
And there it goes. If there's cachet to that,
yeah,
then that loyalty actually turns that customer who bought that product, that physical product, because that's what a movie is, that physical product into an ambassador who's going to speak beyond it.
But then you're treating some customers better than others. And doesn't it upset the rest who aren't treated with that same degree of love?
But it creates that aspiration to be part of that loyalty club, uh-huh, that VIP club. And that then drives the sale.
Okay. So, again, full service businesses, there seem to be fewer and fewer of them. If you're a DSTV subscriber and your decoder's gone on the blink, you know that a man in a truck is not going to arrive, or a person in a truck is not going to arrive with a screwdriver and a pair of pliers to come and help you fix it. You're going to phone a call center. That is the way of the world.
Yeah. You're going to phone a call center and they're going to tell you to bring it in to them.
Your call is important to us. And then they're going to say, after half an hour, and I've had good experiences, but in some cases, they say, could you please bring it in to us? They say, I know it's been struck by lightning. Now bring it in to us.
But this is the difference between, let's say, a very competitive environment and an environment that's been cornered.
Yeah.
And let's face it, the DSTV market is a cornered, captured environment.
And so, but captured not in the sense that we're used to politically. It is a market dominant position. And yes, we've seen people come in and try to compete and
they've failed.
They've failed dismally. They've failed. And so it's about building loyalty and making me want to do business with you next time and to stay your customer.
But there are clever ways to do it, Bruce. And let me give you a good example. You know, I met this entrepreneur who makes, let's call it kiddies furniture, bedroom furniture. So they've got cribs, they've got bunk beds, they've got those types of products in a sense. And they're physical products. And they said to me, you know, the biggest problem I've got is somebody walks in, they buy the product, and then that's it. My experience of that customer is gone. It's a single transaction. And the next day I've got to start again. So we spoke about, well, what are you actually selling? Because people who buy furniture for their kids are wanting to create a particular experience for their kids. And what we discovered is that there's a way to, let's say, create a point of difference, a way to hold on to that customer for 10 years. And the strategy that was designed in the end is that children, from toddlers all the way to young kids, let's say 9, 10 years old, pick up a lot of their literacy capability and development through the imagery in their lives. And what was put down was an idea that for a particular bed that would suit a child from the age of 3 or 4 all the way up to the age of 10, that bed could be brought in and swapped out every 2 years to create different images on the bed, a different environment and a different theme in the room that would give that child's imagination the texture that it needs to develop literacy around it. And from a single sale, that sale then turned into multiple sales, 4 sales, in fact, over a 10-year period of a child's life. They're really clever ways to provide a service onto a product that sets it apart, that hooks a customer in positively and for value in a way that they get the benefit and so do you.
Okay. I mean, and it's just, it's about, in this an increasingly competitive environment, people can pick up stuff online from anywhere in the world. You have to fight for that customer.
You do have to fight for the customer. And if you can bring down the cost of the customer, if you can save time, even more so nowadays, with that customer around the product. Simple example, a lot of things that are imported, some of these bras, some of these big bras, these big name bras that are imported flat packed. And flat packed basically means that the thing is collapsed right down with a series of instructions that can drive a capable person incredibly mad. When you buy that product flat packed and it's assembled for you, it saves time, gives you confidence that it works. There's a service that bolsters the sale of a physical product.
I fall for that every time. I once put together something from IKEA. I stuck to the plan. I swear I did.
And you followed. And screw A goes into hole Z, and so it goes.
In the service, absolutely.